Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7
I was the underdog when I asked my wife out on a date.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
He's a weapon. Stability is the key in any situation.
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri. Joined alongside me, my co-host Liam Davis. Liam, how's your morning going?
Pretty good. Last night, I think I stayed up a little bit too late playing pickleball with a couple friends, but I'm glad to be here this morning talking with you guys.
Yeah, you guys, who else is here? It's just us today.
Well, the people listening to us.
Oh, okay, I guess that's fair. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling the morning. It is 8 in the morning right now, but I'm excited to be here for the coaches' show. We'll start off talking about last night's football game. The Arabians got a big win over their first conference opponent of the season, the Newcastle Trojans. Their third shutout against the Trojans all time. And the potential last time we'll see the Arabians play the Trojans in a very long time. It was quite the game.
Yeah, and it was also the second time in 3 years that Pendleton actually shut out the Newcastle Trojans. And also a key thing to talk about on defense is Rylan Kiesling. I mean, he had such a good game. He also had that fumble recovery for a touchdown off of a bad snap. And then just every single defensive back, just not letting Carson Bell get free with the ball. I mean, it was just a fabulous job by the Arabian defense. And then their offense, you know, they kind of started out slow, as Coach Richmond talked about in the post-game interview. But then they started clicking, and things just went right uphill.
Yeah, week one, you know, they got off to a hot start, no issues. Guerin Catholic week two, kind of the same thing. They really got off quick. And then week three, they really hit a wall at the start of this game. I would have thought Guerin Catholic or maybe Lebanon gave them more adversity going into the matchup, but really Newcastle was the toughest test early. But they were able to bounce back. They were able to battle through. And that was a green light for the Arabians. That was a good sign. And since then, you know, they were up 14 at halftime. They really hit their stride as the game went on, which has not been the case all season.
Yeah, and talking about, like, going up 14 at halftime, the scoring started off with Cooper Sims receiving touchdown for Brent Gray, and then, of course, Rylan Kiesling's fumble recovery, and then Cooper Sims with a 17-yard rushing touchdown. And then fourth quarter, it was Joel Weaver and DJ McCreary both getting rushing touchdowns for the Arabian offense. And, I mean, yes, they did score 35 points, but obviously Coach Richmond's not very happy with their start, but then their finish he's very excited about.
Yeah, it's very nice, though, because like what he said, you know, you're up by 35, you got a running clock, you beat a conference opponent, and there's still a handful of things you need to work on. This team has so much room to improve, and we saw a lot of things last night. It's like, all right, you know, they need to hammer that down. They need to fix that before, you know, they face a bigger opponent later down the road. But you also saw many good things. I mean, Cooper Sims had his best game of the season.
Yeah.
And that crosser he got open for the touchdown absolutely burnt his defender. There was no one near him when he caught it. They're trying some new things with the, I don't know if it's a reversal or ending around. He got free space for a touchdown on the ground with a trick play. That was awesome to see, you know, some new play integration in the third week of the season has the crowd hype.
Yeah. And obviously the crowd's going to be hype whenever they see Pendleton Knights win. But also, speaking of the run game, just like you're talking about with Cooper, Joel Weaver had another 100-yard game, which is back-to-back weeks with 100 yards on the ground, and another touchdown, which is three straight weeks with a touchdown on the ground now. Joel Weaver, he's a sophomore. We still have, after this year, two more years with him. I think he's going to do great things. I think he's going to be the next Keaton Jones of this franchise. Maybe even this year he could do what Keaton did in his senior year if he keeps doing what he's doing right now.
Yeah, talking about Newcastle a little bit, they went 12 for 25. We knew coming into the game they're going to throw the ball a lot. They've got a junior quarterback who does pretty well in the pocket. And early in the game, the Arabians really struggled to force pressure on him. But as the game went on, it got bad for Carson Bell. He had to constantly scramble out and throw it away. You know, when he did that, he had to lead his receivers upfield and kind of put them in bad situations, susceptible to a big hit. He kept looking for Darren Reynolds as target, and Talon Foster absolutely blanketed him all game. They really struggled on offense. Their best running back, Luke Sherrill. I was looking for the stats here. 18 attempts for 43 yards. I would have thought he had more after the game, how he performed, because, you know, he averaged 2.4 a carry, which sounds nice on paper, but they stopped them. They did enough to prevent them from scoring the whole game.
Yeah, and obviously Luke Sherrill, with the power back he is, usually you don't see Pelton Heights do very good against those type of power backs, but they obviously figured out a way to stop him, and that's also one of the reasons why the Arabians defense is going to be really good this year, is that they could battle through that diversity of facing an elite running back in Jack Linden from last week to facing a power back in Luke Sherrill this week. Mm-hmm.
I also think it is important to mention the defense. Usually, you know, like week one, they stayed on the field for most of the night. And that's why, you know, the game started to slip away from that Lebanon game. It's because, you know, your defense is going to get tired. They're going to let up points. You keep your offense out there, you can command a football game and stay in charge of it. And through week two, week three, I know there have been two shutouts in a row, but they've been able to keep their defense off the field and let their offense command the game. And that's very smart coaching and how you want to win a football game. I mean, the defense only came on when they needed to, and they did enough to stop them. There's a few times it's like, all right, Newcastle looks promising here. They've got a nice drive going. And then they would give an inch. The Arabians would take a mile, whether it was a bad snap, whether it was a penalty. You know, once there was a penalty, that drive was over with. Newcastle could not get a first down after that. Once there was a bad snap, same story.
Yeah. And another thing I want to talk about for the defense is that the defense forced 8 punts out of Newcastle, which I couldn't tell you the last time the Arabians forced 8 punts in a single game.
Going into that game, Newcastle had only punted twice that season.
Yeah. And Newcastle's coming off a big win against Jay County, and now they face Pelton Heights, and then Pelton Heights shuts them out, and they have to punt 8 times, which they probably haven't done that in a long time either. Mm-hmm. And I like the future of Pelton Heights defense this year, and offense as well.
Yeah, speaking of defense, there was a few sacks last night. There was also a pick 6, ended up being called back, defensive holding. That was tough because it was a sophomore that caught that one and hauled it in, who, you know, I mean, they're up big. Getting everyone some varsity minutes is great. But that one was called back. Kind of rough for the Arabians, but, I mean, they were up 35. The crowd was hype. Just an unfortunate situation there, but still nice on paper.
Yeah, and, you know, saying you don't get very much varsity reps, I actually talked to him after the game, and I was like, what happened on that pick 6? What penalty was it? And then Ryder Garner walks up to me and goes, yeah, that's on me. So you can tell that this team is so unselfish, and they will pick up their teammates because Ryder Garner had the holding call. But you can just tell this team likes to play with each other and not just play by themselves.
Yeah, that situation could easily turn bad and turn hostile, but like you said, it hasn't. You know, this team is smart, and, you know, they want to win a game. It's not about who got the pick 6 or whatever. But, I mean, that's a way to earn yourself some more varsity minutes. Jump a pass from a junior quarterback and take it for 6. That's going to look good on a highlight reel.
Yeah, obviously. It's going to look great, except for whenever the referee throws the flag.
Yeah, well, that part wasn't so great. But the Arabians, all in all, I mean, they had a really good night. 35-0, I think, doesn't tell the whole story. Newcastle really put up a tough fight. I think it's the toughest game the Arabians have been in all season.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lebanon put 22 points on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like small mistakes from Newcastle lost them the game. Penalties, bad snaps. And Pendleton had a fair few small miscues that were surprising that they hadn't seen against Garin Catholic. And I know they're a 3A school, but, I mean, they've beat a 5A school. I have reason to believe that one would be better than the other, and that just wasn't the case.
Yeah, and, you know, there was so many penalties last night. Coach Richmond is probably going to want to fix that in practice, but also forcing a lot of penalties as well on the defensive side with false starts and holding calls, and then forcing offsides, too, on Newcastle. That's going to help you in the long run, especially whenever you need those extra yards. If it's like a 3rd and short and then you force an offsides, that's a free first down right there. And that's what you can't do as a defensive team. And I like how they didn't force anything on the defensive line either. Because they're so balanced up there And, you know, even whenever the second string came in, D. Hyden had a great sack there. Jacob McKinley, I know he starts, but he had another great sack. All around, every single position has great depth, and I think that they can do really special things.
This is going to be a special season. I was really surprised on the pass rush. It came up so late, and I mean, better late than never. But what changed? Well, ask Coach Richmond. You know what happened there? It went from nothing to everything. We're gonna keep looking around at Arabian Source. We'll start here with boys soccer this week. They had two matchups. First one was away at Greenfield Central. They won that one 4-2 over the Cougars. Looking at the stats on that game, none are published at the moment. Sorry about that. And then afterwards, they traveled to Anderson, beat the Indians 4-1. Another tough road game for Pendleton Heights. Four goals for Pendleton Heights. One Chamberlain, one to Jackson Chamberlain, one to Jared Jamie. Very spread out, one per player. Good game for the Arabians as they improved to 4-3 on the season. They compete in a tough sectional, a tough schedule. And they're finally, they got two wins in a row. That's something to build on. Keep rolling.
Yeah, and then going over to the girls' soccer side, girls' soccer played Greenfield Central this week on September 3rd, and they won that game 5-3. Courtney Prickett was leading scorer with two goals. Mamie Trout also had seven saves that game, which is really good. And today, they actually traveled to Westfield and play at 11:30 this morning.
Yeah, Aaliyah Robinson, leading goal scorer this week, or excuse me, this season, eight goals for her, leading the way for the team, averages 1.3 a match. After that, Courtney Prickett with three goals and three assists, 9 points on the season. This is another bright team. You're going to hear actually an interview from Coach Nathaniel Summers, new hire here at Pendleton Heights. I say new hire, but it's been a few months. Just today was this week was the first time I was able to sit down with him and talk to him. So you'll hear that pretty soon. But yeah, that was a nice interview. Liam, what's next?
We can go over to girls volleyball. They had the Indy Ignite match of the week. I'm pretty sure it's what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And they played Yorktown. Unfortunately, they did get swept in three sets. But Yorktown's still a really good team.
Yeah.
They've been good for so long. I don't understand how.
They went 33-3 last year. I think they were state runner-ups. It's a tough loss whenever you play Yorktown. It was hype when they came here. I think that was on Thursday. It was a hype game. With that, we are running out of time here, so we are going to take a quick break. When we return, I'll sit down with head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style, haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri. Joined alongside my co-host Liam Davis in the studio, head coach of the Arabian football team, Jed Richmond. How's your morning going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll get straight into it. You said pregame, winning the line of scrimmage is the key to your success, not only in this game against Newcastle, but all season.
Yeah.
How do you think you fared winning the line of scrimmage last night?
Defensively all night. I think offensively we were inconsistent. But it was, you know, you got to give them credit. They did a good job attacking what we do. And we've got to be more focused. It's good to win a game 35-0 and feel a little left wanting, you know. These guys have big goals. They've got to learn. I told them before the game, you're the hunted now. There was a preseason article where Greenfield had us circled as this was a big game, you know. We'll talk more about that, you know, later in the show. But we've got to evolve. It's the middle of the season now, and we got to adapt, evolve, and get better.
Another thing I want to talk about on the defensive side is how you guys held Carson Bell to only 104 yards and an interception. and Tylan Thrine to not get enough space in the open field. Yeah. How were you able to do that, especially with the athlete Tylan Thrine is?
Well, I think the guys up front, you know, we had pressures. I don't know our stats yet. The guys got them done, but I'm not sure. I was focused a lot more on offense and special teams and stuff this morning. So, but I know just watching the game, I mean, Jake Eldridge was relentless. McKinley, Turner Seal, you know, D. Hyden, outside backers between DJ and Ryland and Preston Wolf. Those guys got after him too, you know. So I think making him uncomfortable, obviously there's some things with our scheme where they dinked and dunked us a little bit, you know, and that's to their credit and to their patience. But it wasn't enough, to get it all the way down the field. And that's a credit to those guys up front. I thought Aiden Forsher played really fast last night. I thought Pulley and Plovic came in and did a good job with Garner being out as well, you know. And I was pretty proud of those guys stepping up and stepping in. And obviously there's always corrections to be made, but as one of those, I was wondering with Garner out how they were going to attack that, and they never got their run game going. They couldn't get the run game going, and that's a lot to do with the guys that front seven, you know, and the way we came in and we tackled. I thought our tackling is continuing to get better. There's some misses out there, but with some of their quickness and their running backs, as hard as they run, I thought we equally attacked and tackled really well.
I felt like the pass rush wasn't all there at the start of the game. Yep. I mean, kind of a slow start across the board, the slowest the Ravens have had all season.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that? Obviously, Carson Bell, he's a pocket passer. You're trying to force him out, and you did that as the game went on, but did you feel the pass rush was there at the start? And if not, why not?
Well, they get it out quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did a good job of – if you look at it, basically the guy that didn't have a defender right on top of him, that's who he's throwing a little hitch to. And, it was just dinkiness. And then we came up and made tackles, you know, I mean, like, Wyatt and Grant are back at like 10 yards, 12 yards, and they're coming up tackling at five, or it was outside linebacker coming out to tackle. But again, on all those, when you think about it, they made the tackles, you know what I mean? In space against a quick, oftentimes it was Thrine or 44 was out there until he got hurt. It's hard in a second and a half or less to get a pass rush, but we had hands up and we played good team defense, and we bent, but we didn't break, you know, and that's the truest essence of that. Then when they tried to go downfield later on, then you really saw those guys getting after him. We had multiple sacks, so.
Yeah, and one of the defensive players I want to point out is DJ McCreary.
Yeah.
We didn't see him very much week one on the defensive side, but then against Garen Catholic, we saw him more, and then this week we saw him a lot. How do you feel about him?
Just continues to get better, you know. I was happy for him. We got him in at running back at the end. He got a touchdown, and, just another senior making plays, you know. I mean, it's I thought Cooper Sims is like the first guy that pops in my mind, him and Kiesling. When you think about seniors making plays and stepping up, each game, there have been consistencies there, right? But then you get a guy like Coop last night with two scores, you know, run and a pass, and Ryland, right place, right time. But he's doing his job, you know. And Ryland did a good job leadership wise too of communicating, when we were in nickel and doing some different things, getting guys to the right places, you know, and showed a lot of moxie and being that coach on the field.
Now, week one, your offense had a super fast start. Week three, it was kind of the opposite of that. Post game, you said as a coach, you needed to change something, whether they weren't listening or you weren't saying the right thing, they weren't hearing it. Something's got to change. What got in the way? This, not to throw my opinion out there, but it can happen in the future as you play tougher teams as the schedule goes on. What's going to change?
Well, I mean, we've got to correct some things. So the obvious things that you see on film, footwork, communication, and that's the coaches will fix that. We'll get that fixed. So, but it's every position. So it's one of those things where there were a lot of good. We just really, as I reflect on it, all 11 guys weren't in unison at times. You know, get a false start. We get a miss a line, got to call timeout. We We don't hit the hole right when they block it correctly. We don't communicate and block it correctly. And then, you know, there is a little bit of everybody, you know, misread, miss, you know, miss footwork. It's all correctable. So it's not like, you know, it's not like we're freaking out. And I, you know, that's the other thing. I thought we kept our composure, you know, and one of the things I told a few of the guys last night, some of them put an awful lot of pressure on themselves. And like, we cannot worry about the results. I mean, that's how you think about the teams that win the most, whatever sport it is. They're not results driven. Like, the results are going to happen because of the things that you do all week long. And then you go out and you focus one play at a time. There are times where we weren't focused on what was right in front of us. We're worried because that's normal. That's the average person. You know what I mean? We're trying to get these young guys to think about what's right in front of them, process it in front of thousands of people after they've been told how great they are all week. And, oh, by the way, are you going to go to homecoming with whoever? And are you going to, where are you going to eat? And what are you doing? And homecoming's next week, you know? So that's why it was a trap. Plus, everybody's telling us how good we are, which I'm happy for them. They should feel good. I do think we have a good ball club, and I do think we have great kids. And I'll take us against anybody, but we got to do the right things to continue to be that group, you know? And and that's a little bit of humility, and that's a, and not that we got ahead of ourselves or thought we were too good, but my goodness, we got to take it one thing at a time. And that's one of the hardest things to do when everybody's talking, you know? And that's why I called it rat poison the other day, because that's what it is. If you take the bait, you're dead, you know? And then the same guys that are stroking you and telling you how great you are, like, they're patting you on the back and, you know, they're, now you're not even getting written about, you know what I mean? So that's just sports in general, right? I mean, Kansas City lost, right? The Chiefs lost, and now, oh my gosh, they're terrible, right? No, they're not. I mean, let's just keep perspective, and we're not Kansas City by any stretch, but it's the same with Greenfield. They lose week one and now they're rolling and everybody's like, oh man, they lost to Beech Grove. Well, Beech Grove's pretty good and in our sectional, and here we go. So let's just keep perspective on what's right in front of us.
How does that differ, you know, in the locker room around the team at practice? Because, you know, outside perspective, you got three wins in a row, two shutouts, 34 or more points for both games. I mean, this team looks extremely hot. Last year, you guys got on a roll. But this is so much earlier in the season. And if you can keep the stride against these tougher teams, you know, so much to be excited about. Everyone's looking forward to this. What's the inner circle like? You know, you got to be excited while also smart and complacent.
Well, everybody's an individual, you know, you got a, you got a team of individuals. So everybody's family's different too. I mean, you know, when I played, you know, way back in the 1900s, like, my grandma thought I walked on water. Like, she was at every game. Like, I never did anything wrong. Like, and, you know, in a game like last night, it'd have been everybody's fault but mine. You know what I mean? And everybody's family is different. Sometimes people are harder on their kids. Sometimes they're lighter. Sometimes whatever. I'm not judging anybody, but everybody goes home to something different too. And then everybody's friend group is what they are, you know? And so they got to come back to reality and come back to what the film doesn't lie, you know? And what you do during the week is going to be replicated on the field. So if you've been full of yourself all week long, or you didn't watch film like the last week, or you didn't prepare, you didn't lift, you didn't do the things that you did before, it's got to be consistent. That's the struggle. You got to be as consistent as possible. Not perfect, but you got to stay in that routine, and you got to keep pushing yourself to be a little bit better each day. Coach Jesse talks all the time about being 1% better each day. We do that, the rest will take care of itself. You still got to go out and perform, though, you know? And that's the thing. We've been on the stage now. We've been in front. I mean, these three crowds, first crowd, I mean, this week's going to be nuts. It's homecoming. It's, a, you know, it's two ranked teams. It's a backyard rivalry. I mean, what else? What else you want for? What else do you want for high school football? You got good players on each side. We knocked them out of the tournament and split last year. They did it to us the 2 years prior. Like, you know, I mean, this this rivalry's been around a long time. There's families that are you know, in on both teams, friendships, all sorts of stuff. So at the same time, like, you got to come back and you still got to do what you're supposed to do and just play ball, you know, and not get caught up in all that. So how do you do that? Making it normal, you know, step by step. And that's the process that we talk about, you know, and that's, I learned it from Coach Moriarty when I was at Carmel. We went to state titles 4 years in a row. How do the big games become normal? How do you, How do you perform under all that pressure and in those big crowds? It's because it's the same as you did way back in January when we're throwing routes on air, you know, or we're doing reads. So it's just a lot more fun and exciting now than it was back in the winter.
Well, that'll wrap it up for this first segment. Stay tuned for the second. You kind of previewed a little bit of it with that Greenfield Central matchup. You are listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, retirement planning, risk management, and legacy planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001 or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by S&B Heating and Cooling. Located at 6879 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Same as before, I'm Zion Palmieri here with Liam Davis and the head coach of the Arabian football team. Last night, obviously sophomore Lincoln Deshaun got a nice pick six towards the end of the game.
Yep.
It was called back due to defensive holding.
Yeah.
What did you think of the play? Obviously, flashy pick six is always nice to see.
Well, I saw it during the week. He picked Brant, you know, and you know, we were lucky that it didn't happen earlier in the game on a field throw. Early in the game, number seven should have pick sixed it, and he just tapped it down, you know. But good breakup by Newcastle. But, you know, with Lincoln, that's what you see in practice too. He gives us a good look. You know, he's right there on the fringe, whether it be offensively or defensively. You know, another three-sport guy, like tough as far as that goes. Like he doesn't shy away from working hard and balances all three sports. So really proud to coach him and probably a better kid than even a football player. So I'm glad he's on our team.
Yeah, and going to the offensive side, you guys are a pretty straightforward team, not really much trick plays. But then we saw Cooper Sims have that end around run. Are we going to see more of a trick play scheme in the upcoming weeks?
I mean, we got him in. It's just a matter of the timing. And, you know, I'm going to sound like an old curmudgeon like right now. But, like, we got to run the basic stuff right before we get to that stuff. So, but, yes, they're in. And we've been running that and some other things for multiple weeks now. And so, yes, the playbook is wide open right now. So, and you know, last night you think about, and I think you guys talked about this before, but like, I mean, I don't know on offense, Sam Barrett maybe didn't have a touch last night, but was targeted there with the play action at the end, you know, but everybody else had a touch. I mean, I think Byron had a catch. Lowen had some catch. I mean, everybody's getting touches. You know what I mean? We're spreading it around. That's been the thing for 3 weeks, which is hard to defend, you know? But Coop definitely with the two big plays last night, it was fun to see him run that in. And, you know, you saw big Luke Graham out there leading the way. So that's always good to see those guys hustling downfield too.
Yeah. Sorry to keep talking about this Newcastle game. Just a lot happened to unpack. Yeah. Looking at that play, you just get into the red zone. You decide to call that.
Yeah.
What all goes into that play call? I mean, that's a bold, aggressive move.
It's like a counter. So like we had been hitting them with it and then it is a trick. Right. But, everybody went for the dive. Cause how many times did we run the dive? And then they were worried about the option and no one was there. So, you know, it was a good play call by Coach Jesse. And, you know, that's what, had we ran a little better early on in the game, might have seen it sooner, but it was good timing and it got some energy going. And, you know, I thought when, you know, at times different guys touch the ball, it gets us energized, you know, which is fun to see. You know, what I saw too on that play, you know, like as Sam Barrett was blocking on the left side, he's blocking number nine. As Cooper was about to run in the end zone, he and Mitchum and the other guys were so excited for Cooper. You know what I mean? That's that unselfishness that, again, You can't fake that. You can try, but like he was genuinely excited, not only that we scored, but that Coop scored. So that was, you know, that it was effective. So I was proud of that too. Those are the things that, like, you know, we get frustrated. We don't always execute the best, but that locker room's tight and they stayed together and they didn't waver and they got into it. We got guys that they want to win, man. They want to play well. And they were frustrated as they were trying to help one another. And that's a good thing because they care so much, you know. If they didn't care, I'd be worried.
Yeah, I kind of want to translate over to the Greenfield Central game now. Greenfield Central obviously has a freshman quarterback. Yeah. How are you going to be able to take advantage of him?
Well, I think they ran it 50-some times last night, maybe threw it once.
59, threw it twice.
There you go, threw it twice. So, you know, if we make him throw it, that's a good thing. You know what I mean? So I'm not worried about – I mean, he's a coach's kid. You know what I mean? He's tough. That's head coach's son. You know, he's tough, and he knows the offense, and he's going to play his butt off. But he's also got some weapons, you know. I mean, Cooper Hinton, I think he ran for 200 last night, 27 times. He's one of the best players in the conference. And then they got Benavente at fullback. I mean, they got some guys back there, you know. So, and their line's big. I mean, that's the thing before the season that everybody was talking about. They were predicted to win the sectional, just so everybody knows, by the Indy Star. And we are the underdog this week. So I'm going to make that pretty clear. So I hope everybody enjoys Powder Puff. I hope everybody enjoys the week, as you should. But there's a big game Friday, and it is a very, very talented and difficult opponent. And I'm really looking forward to the thousands of people that are coming out to watch us play our butts off.
Do you truly, fully, like, I understand as a coach, you know, telling your team, we're the underdog, treat it like this. Yeah. You know, these people wrote us off. I mean, they got wins over Beech Grove and Greensburg, you know? Yeah. That's a... They might be predicted to win, but you got the last one over Greenfield Central. Cooper Hinton only had 76 yards in the sectional, and he went for 200 last week. I mean, you're looking pretty promising to some people, but some also wrote you off.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard me say this. I've been the underdog all my life, you know? I don't feel very funny this morning, but it isn't really a joke. I don't know that Molly Richmond wanted to go out with me when I first asked her, so... At the same time, though, as we talk about this game, I mean, they just beat up Mount Vernon. So whatever people think about losing to Beech Grove, they are a very, very formidable opponent. And they're going to be very physical. They always are. This game's always a knockdown dragout. Is always physical. They bring it. We bring it. And it's going to be – there's going to be a lot of hitting, you know. There'll be some snot bubbles Friday night, so –
Talking about Cooper Hinton a little bit, last year when we played him, and on today's coaches show, you said he's the best player, one of the best players in the conference.
Yeah.
You've seen your fair share of Cooper Hinton by this point. He's a senior. Yeah. This year will be the last year you play him.
Thank goodness.
Is it easier the more you play him? You know, you got more tape, more film. You know what this guy can do?
Well, I think, he's going to bring it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like our seniors do. You know, I mean, they've seen him their whole life. Like, it's, I hope they think this, I really hope they think the same about some of our guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the, when I talk about being the underdog, I know they respect us. You know, I have nothing but respect for Coach Nolte. He's turned the program around. I mean, they're a winning culture and they're a winning program. And they deserve that. So, by no means, do I feel disrespect from, I think it's one of the greatest motivators when you don't feel respected. And so I'm a hypocrite because it's rat poison when they respect us. But when they don't respect us, then it's bulletin board. But that's just the essence of coaching. Like, you know, all the praise and everything to me is fuel. And that's what I want my players to take. I want it to motivate them and keep them hungry when they're patted on the back. You know, and they should see it as really going out and using that as motivation. You know, that's one of those things that we have the utmost respect for these guys, and we want to go out and compete beyond their level and do the best we can.
Yeah, and one more thing about the running back situation. You know, week two, you faced Jack Linden and Alyssa Back. Last week, you faced power back.
Yeah.
And now this week you have to face both of them. How are you going to be able to handle the running back diversity?
Just got to read our keys and tackle well like we have. I mean, it's we are a gap sound defense, so it's not like it's up to one guy. You know what I mean? And then when we do mess up, we better be pursuing like crazy. And you saw that last night. There were numerous gang tackles. You know what I mean? There were also isolated single tackles out on the perimeter, which is that's what I was really proud of seeing. The last 2 weeks, you saw that on the quick screens, on this, on that. This week, it might be a pitch. This week, it might be a motion and then a triple option back the other way. So we just got to be sound on our discipline, and we've got to make sure we execute. We can't blink. And the defense hasn't, but these guys are going to play at a step quicker. Their fullback dive is quicker than any dive we've seen so far. And then their double dive where they, you know, they run the quarterback, it's different. And so that's where we just got to be that much better, you know. Now, I think we have guys that can simulate it really well in practice. We've got to have a great scout team look. And, you know, that's something where we, again, I talked about those guys last week. You know, we got a decent scout team look this week. We need a better one, though. As the opponents are better, we need those guys more dialed in. There are a few times this week where people didn't do what was on the card. Like, they got to stay locked in and stay focused. Focus on one play at a time. So,
well, that'll about wrap it up for this interview. Thanks for joining me, Coach, and we're looking forward to next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Ravens.
All right, stay tuned for more. Liam got the chance to sit down with girls golfer Kirsten Dumovich, so stay tuned for that interview. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you back here to the ASN's Coach's Show. I am Liam Davis, and I'm joined here with Kirsten Dumovich, a junior here at Pendleton Heights, and one of the girls' golfers. How are you doing today, Kirsten?
I'm good.
That's perfect to hear. So I'm going to go ahead and get straight into the questions for you here. Obviously, girls' golf is a fall sport. Why did you choose golf to be your fall sport?
I really like the people my freshman year, and we usually get ice cream after every away match, and that was like one of the main things for a while, but then I started to really enjoy it.
How has the golf season been going so far for you?
It's been going pretty good. County was definitely something. Just two strokes away from all county, and that was definitely kind of an upset. But the team, we've had a lot of fun. We've been focused on more fun than anything, so it's been good.
So, I know I play golf sometimes, and I know golf takes a long time to play, but how do you combine the golf season with school, considering you guys play during the evening?
It's definitely a lot harder than during normal, just not having a sport at all, because you have to manage your time a lot better and make sure you're actually doing stuff in school, so when you get home, you don't have a lot to do.
So how long do the practices take on average?
An average practice, we play 9, and then sometimes, depending on, like, the day, we'll chip and putt after or do some, like, putting games, whatever the coach likes.
So, obviously, you play a lot of golf courses. What golf course would you say is your favorite?
I really like Grandview, which is Frankton's home course, and I also really like Albany, which is Delta's course.
What is the lowest score that you've shot this season or ever?
My lowest for 9 is a 38, and my lowest for 18 is an 88.
What did you shoot at county this year?
88.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start golfing? Was it freshman year?
Mm-hmm.
And so you were kind of new. What advice would you give to the new golfers that would want to play golf?
Just come out and try it, because you never know if you'll like it by never trying it. And everybody's really nice and including. It's a lot of fun. So.
And if someone wants to golf, but then they start playing it and they don't want to, what would you like want to tell them to keep them playing and not quit?
I would say just to keep going, because it gets a lot better once you put like effort in, and you'll definitely see improvements over time.
And I know you play softball during the springtime. How does golf affect you or help you with softball?
It affects my swing a lot in softball, because it's such like so different. But other than that, it doesn't really affect it at all.
If you were to play another sport during the fall, what sport would you play?
I'd play soccer, because I think it looks pretty fun.
Who is your most favorite golfer?
Bryson DeChambeau.
That's my favorite, too. What is your favorite golf memory from the golf team?
I would say we were on our way to practice last year, and Olivia Hall got pulled over on our way after one of the other girls was going more over the speed limit than she was, and then she got pulled over. That was definitely one of the best.
What are your hopes for the future in golf?
Just to keep lowering my score, just see where it goes, just keep putting effort in.
Are you looking to play golf for college or softball for college, or?
It just really depends on the school, where it is, what, like, I don't know. I would say more softball since I've been playing it longer, but I definitely would look into playing golf.
Do you like the PGA Tour better, or do you like the LIV Golf League better?
PGA Tour.
What event in the PGA Tour would you say is your favorite?
Gosh. I don't know.
sorry about that. Let's say you were playing in the Masters. Who would you want to play with? And why?
I would say Rory for sure. I've seen some of his clips on when he gets angry, and I think that kind of would be funny to watch. So, and learn from him.
Who do you think the greatest golfer of all time is?
I would say Tiger Woods. I feel like he's proven himself to be the best.
Well, unfortunately, that will be all the time that we have for you, Kirsten. Thank you for joining me, and good luck on the rest of the golf season.
Thank you.
But coming up, you have some more of the ASN Coach Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
Don't miss out. Join Brooklyn Schuyler, Sophia Bevan, and Logan Roman in their brand new podcast, The Arabian Rundown. New episodes are posted every other Thursday on all podcast platforms, as well as on YouTube at 917-WEEM-WEEM Media. From funny stories to trying new foods, you won't want to miss an episode.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you here to this interview on the Arabian Sports Network. My name is Zion Palmieri. I'm joined alongside Pendleton Heights girls soccer head coach
Nathaniel Summers.
Great to have you here for the interview. How's your day going so far?
It's going great. Today's my day off, so
awesome.
Chill all day.
All right. Well, we'll get straight into it. Obviously, you were recently hired this offseason to come to Pendleton Heights. Yep. Where did soccer start for you as a coach?
Yeah, as a coach, immediately after graduating college, I started coaching at Oak Hill up mm-hmm. in Grant County. And so started out there, was there for a few years, and then went to Texas for my job and was there for the past decade or so. And while there, was running an academy, a youth academy.
Mm-hmm. So you play high school and soccer, or soccer in high school?
Yep.
What about being a coach was so enticing to you that you decided, you know, I'm going to do this straight after you got out of high school?
Yeah. Well, I first was a referee, mm-hmm. Which was really great, and it helped pay for college. And I did that while I was in college. I was head ref of this league and quickly realized, you know, reffing maybe might not be the thing that I really like. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't stay away from the game. And so I got an opportunity to be a coach and kind of stepped into it, not knowing, you know, is this where I want to go or not? And while doing that, I also was doing private training for a lot of high school athletes. And so through those two experiences, I really kind of fell in love with it.
So you have a master's degree in sports ministry. Is that correct?
I have a bachelor's in sports ministry and a master's from a seminary.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I read. These things, they're not typical of a coach, but it's pretty interesting for a coach to have this a sports ministry. I've personally never heard of that major. What did you learn from that you can take to being a coach? That really shocked me when I saw it, because that's very interesting to me.
Yeah, it's a different kind of degree. And really what it is, it's a mix between regular Christian ministry and so, mm-hmm. you know, kind of what people take to be a pastor, and then sports management. And so the idea is being able to work, you know, in ministry and run different sports programs while you're kind of running a church or running a nonprofit, which is what I ended up doing then when my wife and I were missionaries for over a decade. That's where we're in Texas, and we had a soccer academy as part of that. And so it was a Christian run, you know, soccer academy that was running, you know, within the city. And it's just an interesting mix. I was called into ministry, but I was going through a lot of different stuff, trying to figure out like, what do I want to do? Who am I? And soccer was always such a big part of my life. I was like, okay, God, if I'm going to go, you know, forward in this, I really don't want to give that up. Do you have a way forward for me? And so that was kind of the way that God allowed me to kind of stay in the game and continue to do what he had called me to do, you know, as a pastor.
I feel like the rules are pretty fine on what you can and can't do as a coach in reference to religion.
Yep.
And that's why it was very interesting to me that they hired someone that has a degree in sports ministry and is a pastor. Do you find that's a difficult line to tread? Because, I mean, you can't, like, lead your students yep. or your players in prayer or anything like that. But, you know, we are in a pretty faith-based community. A lot of the coaches are very devout in their faith. So are the players and athletes. Is that difficult for you?
No, not really. You know, I've also worked in education really past graduation. So I get that fine line that's got to be walked. And I don't really talk about faith beyond just, mm-hmm. you know, as an outpouring of who I am. And it's important to me, obviously. And so it will come up, but I don't, you know, proselyze or try to, you know, preach or anything like that, you mm-hmm. know. But a big part of my faith, though, is that, you know, I believe that God has called everyone, whether they follow him or not, to be better people, to be people who, you know, our character continues to develop, that we mature, that we become, you know, kind and gracious and loving toward other people. And I mean, that coincides with sports so easily, because really high school sports, especially, it's a catalyst for growth in the individual more than anything. And yeah, we want to be better at our sport, but it also makes us just better people and helps us step into the wider world by the time we graduate.
So we'll talk about this specific team in Pendleton Heights. Obviously, you step into the coaching job in a little bit of a tough situation. Last year, the girls' soccer team went 8-9-1. They lost to a very tough HSE team in sectionals. What about you and your skills can help this team and help, you know, improve that record last year and be a different group?
Yeah, you know, I don't know much about, you know, the way the team was before, other than, you know, what I've learned kind of coming in and getting to know some of the girls, but you know, there's a lot of talent that's been developed here, and it's such a great group. And And I really believe that, you know, me coming in and what I believe most is being able to empower the girls to recognize that this team is theirs. Like, it's not mine. I'm a steward of what they're doing on their team. And so as long as they take ownership and kind of move forward with what they want to do this season, I think we have no limit to where we could go this year. And I think that's already kind of played out in the games that we have played. We took Noblesville all the way down to the wire. We've held in with every, you know, competitive team in this state. And so I think by the time we come to sectionals, our team, which is composed of a lot of freshmen and sophomores, we're only going to get better and better, and we might surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, you kind of touched on my next question. You have a lot of young girls on this team. Obviously, you know, when you're competing against maybe Noblesville that has a lot of seniors, or a team that has a higher attendance and a lot of students backed on their soccer team, that's got to be pretty tough for you. Who do you expect in this young team to flourish in the coming years, or really grow into their best player, you know, in their junior, maybe senior year?
Yeah, and I know just in the last several games, we've had a few players start to come to their own and really stand out. I think Sydney Jones is going to be one of the best players, you know, that this program will see in the next several years. Allie Johnson and Alea Robinson are both freshmen who, even just our most recent game, you know, connected together to be able to score a couple of goals. We just have so many talented freshmen and sophomores that they're only going to get better. And this team, you know, in a couple of years, it's going to be pretty amazing to see what they can accomplish.
What are you looking forward to most this season?
I'm looking forward to seeing just how the team comes together by the time that, you know, last week comes and we're hitting sectionals, which is a hard sectional, and be able to step into that with a fully formed identity. You know, anytime you get a new coach, anytime you get a new group of kids, it's going to be this process of figuring out, okay, who are we actually, you know, going to be? And they started writing their story that first week of the season. And so far what they've been telling, you know, our conference and our sectional and the state is that, you know, we're a tough team. We've got talent. But by the time we get to that sectional week, I think they're going to be telling a pretty loud story for themselves.
As a new coach, you know, you come into a new situation. Well, firstly, why Pendleton Heights? Why was that your choice of high school? You know, what was available? Yeah. Why did you go for Pendleton Heights?
Yeah, well, my kids go to Maple Ridge and Pendleton Elementary. And so I've got three kids in the school system. When it became available, it was the local school. And I really believe in high school sports. I think it's really important. Some of my best memories are with my teammates and with my coaches. And so I wanted to contribute to that. And this is, you know, home for me now. And so just trying to step into the community and serve best way I can.
Yeah, so I feel like it might be difficult as a first-year coach to, like, you know, if you've been on the team a while, you know the coaching staff, you're friends with those people, you've, you know, had seasons to grow with them. Are you on a completely new coaching staff? Did you know these people before you stepped in the role? Did you know Mr. Smith, the athletic director? Did you know anyone here?
I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything about the school, really. You know, even living here, you know, my kids have only been in the school system for a couple of years, so we are completely new to the area. We moved to this area 2.5 years ago. So, I mean, we just, yeah, didn't know anything. But coming in has been fun, learning everybody, getting to know people. It's a great community. A lot of passion for athletics, which, you know, I love.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for this interview. Everyone here at Pendleton Heights is super excited to have you, and I'm glad we could finally have you for an interview. We'll probably have you again this year for a more soccer-based one about, you know, where you're at in the season, you know, probably later as you're getting towards sectionals, maybe. I'm not too sure off the top of my head. Perfect. But anyways, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right, that'll do it for this interview. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
In life and in high school sports, the most talented person doesn't always win.
And the most successful people are not always the most gifted. I'm Owen Fouts from Yorktown High School.
And I'm Lena Jones from Plymouth High School. More often than not, success requires being what other people are unwilling to be.
Consistent, disciplined, persistent, without taking shortcuts.
It's often the most dedicated, hardest working person or team that rises to the top.
The ones who run extra drills, who stay late in the weight room, who put in time after practice.
They say hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And those who rise to the challenge are met with the greatest rewards.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Nighy. Support the hard work of our student athletes by buying a ticket to your school's athletic events. Thank you for being a champion of high school sports. This is consistency and commitment. This is discipline and dedication. This is your IHSAA.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri. I'm joined here with
Liam Davis.
Now, Liam, we're here to close this one out. Quite the coaches show we've had. Talking about football, which is, you know, our main topic of the coaches show next week, Greenfield Central. I liked how Coach Richmond put it. How could you not be excited for this matchup? Everything you want in a high school football game. The rivalry is there. They're right down the road. They knocked us out two times in a row of playoffs 2 years ago, or 2 and 3 years ago. And then last year we got it back, split. They won in the regular season. We won in the playoffs. We got the last laugh. You know, they're coming back for revenge.
Yeah, and also it's a homecoming game. But Coach Richmond doesn't want to put his players to think about the homecoming game. He wants them to think about the game, or sorry, the homecoming after the game. And he wants them to think about the game against Greenfield Central. And I think they have a really good chance of winning this game. You know, he was saying they're the underdog. Coach Richmond's always been the underdog. He says all of his life he's been the underdog. And he says that he's the underdog for this game, according to Indy Star. Yes, Greenfield Central wins sectional. And he wants to prove everybody wrong. And I think with the team that he has this year, they can do that.
Yeah, it is going to be a game. Greenfield Central ran the ball 59 times against Mount Vernon yesterday, in which they got the win over. A late scoring game. It was 6-7 at halftime. And then as the game went on, I think final score 24-21.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a game where you bite down on your mouthpiece and you win the line of scrimmage. That's going to be just such an odd game to coach and to witness, because it's all about the line of scrimmage. It's all about, you know, can Pendleton Heights stop force pressure, which they've been pretty consistent all season. And, you know, the second time they played Greenfield Central, they figured out the rushing attack. They figured it out.
Yeah.
Will that happen next Friday? We don't know.
Well, we've seen them play against elusive backs. We've seen them play against power backs. They've done really good about that. I think they allowed 60 rushing yards against Newcastle. And Newcastle last week, I think they had almost 200 yards. Greenfield Central against Mount Vernon last night, they had 330 rushing yards, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Something around there. Probably even more than that, actually, because Braylon Benavente, 10 rushes, 100 yards. And then Cooper Hinton with like 25 carries for over 200 yards or something like that.
And three touchdowns.
Yes, they had four rushing touchdowns.
Hinton had three, that's all I know.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Braylon Benavente had one. So I think Max Preps's score might be a little off, because four touchdowns would be at least more than that, unless they went for straight two-point conversions and then a kick. But they had two passing attempts as well, one for two.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Pendleton Heights is going to have a struggle to try to stop this run game from how much that they run.
Yeah, I mean, a freshman quarterback at the helm, I see that as an opportunity for you to take over and, you know, just get one over on Greenfield Central. I don't know. This is going to be a very interesting game. I'm very excited to see how both teams approach it. It's going to be a real chess match. Both defenses are going to get tired. You know, both offenses are going to try to stay on the field for as long as they can, make long, methodical drives, picking up short gains, and then probably third down, you know, pick up the first. So, you know, we'll see. I'm really excited. Probably one of the most look forward to games. I'm sure Greenfield Central's got it circled. Who isn't excited for this game? I'm really stoked, especially after what we saw from Pendleton Heights last night. I mean, two straight games with shutouts, third shutout all time against Newcastle. What a way to close the series potentially against a Hoosier Heritage Conference opponent, and, you know, moved on to the next week.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a weird feeling that this game is going to be either a really fast-paced game. Clock's going to run the whole time with a bunch of runs. You know, both teams run first offense. And, I mean, Brent Gray, he can still throw the ball, but they're probably going to want to try to get the ball to Joel Weaver, Juju McCrary, Talon Foster,
mm-hmm.
Cooper Sims on another trick play run again, maybe. But, I mean, both running attacks for both teams has just been phenomenal this year. And I think that they're both going to try to go back to that. But also the defense is going to have a little bit of a different mindset going into the game. Obviously, 59-2 is kind of a big number. So I think Coach Freshman might try to switch it up. The most passes that Nolting has thrown this year for Greenfield Central is 9, I'm pretty sure. And that was week one against Beech Grove. And they went on to lose that game. So Beech Grove obviously had a defensive attack for their run game.
I don't know. I mean, Brant Gray threw 9 against Garen Catholic in Pendleton Knight's big win. But that's just how Brant Gray plays. You know, he's pretty a lot. You know, I don't know how many carries he had that game off the top of my head, but he had a lot. So this is going to be a very exciting game. That one will be next Friday, 7:30 will be kickoff time. We'll be broadcasting it 15 minutes before, so 7:15. We'll be here for our pregame show right here on 91.7 WEM. Make sure you tune in. You're not going to want to miss it. I guess if you can't make the game, this is the next best thing, as well as we'll be live streaming on IHSAA TV. And then the day after, 8 to 9 a.m., we'll be here for the coaches show. The next best thing from this coaches show is the next one, of course. So, yeah, stay tuned. It's going to be great. But, yeah, that'll wrap it up for me and Liam. Thanks for joining me, Liam.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Thank you to all our sponsors and contributors that make this possible. And thanks to you all who listen 5 to 10 minutes. We really appreciate it. Or the whole thing. It means the world. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Don't miss out. Join Brooklyn Schuyler, Sophia Bevan, and Logan Roman in their brand new podcast, The Arabian Rundown. New episodes are posted every other Thursday on all podcast platforms, as well as on YouTube at 917-WEEM-WEEM Media. From funny stories to trying new foods, you won't want to miss an episode. Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. We greatly appreciate all of our donors and underwriters who help make this possible. This is 91.7 WEEM.